This week's parasha is Parashat Bechukotai. It begins with a whole list of blessings that we'll receive if we follow the Word of God. And then it continues into a whole bunch of curses if we choose not to follow the Word of God. When we go through from the beginning, in Bechukotai Telechu, and so on, we get in Pasuk Yud Gimel, the very last of what would sound like the blessings, but I'm not sure if it really is a blessing or if it's a statement. And the reason for this is I'm somewhat unsure of the grammar over here. If any one of you feels very strongly about this one way or the other in terms of the grammar, you can tell me, but I'll already let you know now that among the commentaries, there are different opinions about how to understand this. The last pasuk, it's in pasuk Yud Gimel, the end of the first source, it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, asher hotzeiti etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim, miyot lahem avadim. Now that clearly refers to the past tense, which means, from the beginning it says, In b'chukutai teleichu ve'im mitzvotai teshmor v'asitim otam v'natati gishmichem b'itam v'na aretzi v'la v'etzas v'im kuryav v'sigdachem de'yashet b'tzir v'tziyasigat hazara, and so on. It just gives a whole list of positive things that will happen if you follow the Word of God. Over here in the last pasuk, in pasuk Gimel, it says, it sort of like signs off on the positive, and just before we read the pasuk again, if you look at pasuk Yudalid, that's the beginning of the negative, where it says, "V'im lo tishmu li, v'lo ta'asu et kol ha'mitzvot ha'eleh," and then it goes to the whole negative. So the last verse that speaks of the positive, or that signs off on the positive, it reads again, Pasuk Yud Gimel, "Ani Hashem Elokeichem, asher hotzeiti etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim, mihiyot lahem avadim. I am the Lord God who took you out of the land of Egypt, where you were slaves to them, to the Egyptians. Ve'eshbor motot ulchem, v'olech etchem." So what does that mean, Be'eshbor motot ulchem? So you can look in the English if that helps you. It says, and over here it translates it in the past, Be'eshbor, I mean, I don't want to do this more than necessary. Be'eshbor, is that past, present, or future? Good, you're confident, right? It could be even. Okay? Ve'eshbor motot ulchem. Let's say it in the past tense right now. I broke really the bonds that hold you. I broke the yoke. The metaphor is one of an animal of an ox, and it has the yoke which forces it to work, and that's what enslaves it. So God says, Ve'eshbor motot ulchem. I broke this ol from on top of you. This yoke from on top of you. And I made you walk, and then the word over here, which is difficult, is the word komamiyut. So what does the word komamiyut mean? So again, if you want to look in the English, it says upright. And we'll see exactly where that came from and why they chose to translate this as upright. But what does the word itself mean? Koma means kum. To stand, koma, stand up. Koma miyut is understood over here as to stand straight. Rashi writes, koma miyut bekoma zekufa. Stand with your back held straight, and to stand, it's understood as to stand up with pride. Not just to stand, but to stand up with pride. That's bekoma zekufa. So as I already said, I'm unsure, and we'll look into it a little bit, if this refers to the past tense, or this refers to the present tense, or refers to the future tense. I guess the first reason to suspect it's speaking about the past is because the verse just now said, I am God who took you out of Egypt where you were slaves, and then it sounds like it's continuing to say, and I broke the bonds of slavery, and therefore I caused you to walk upright. So a couple of issues. First of all, as far as the Gemara is concerned, walking upright is not a wonderful thing. Again, Rashi describes this as b'kumah zekufa, In source 3, the Gemaran Brachot said, I guess those of you learning Daf Yomi learned it around 3 weeks ago, or no, a little more than a month and a half ago. Va'al yahalech b'komah zekufa, a person should never walk with their back held straight. The Amar Mar, hamhalech b'komah zekufa, for the master has taught, it's been taught, we have a tradition, somebody who walks with their back held straight, afilu arba amot, even a minimal amount of only 4 amot, ki'ilu dochek ragle shechina, as if they've pushed away the shechina. Dichtiv, why? Because it says, meloch al aretz kvodo. The whole world is full of God's glory. So who are you to go walking with your back held straight? Who are you to be walking around with pride? Walking around with pride would indicate that you're not recognizing that God is filling up the earth. What kind of pride is this that you have? I mean, it also says a person, in the same Gemara, a person should not walk, presumably a male, should not walk with their head uncovered for 4 amot. Right? It's also the same kind of thing. Kippah is a recognition of the Shekhinah, that the Shekhinah is above, or the Shekhinah is about. How can a person go about walking? So first of all, this is very interesting. The Chumash says, V'olichatam koma miyut. Rashi says, B'koma zgufa. The Gemara says, Koma zgufa is not a wonderful thing. And by the way, Rashi knows it's not a wonderful thing. First of all, because Rashi knows the Gemara, obviously. Secondly, Rashi himself, in another place in Chumash, introduces Koma zgufa and tells us of its negative connotation. Source 4. This is during the rebellion of Korach. Vayealu me'al mishkan Korach Datan va'aviran misaviv v'tatan va'aviran yatsu nitzavim petach ohaleihem u'nishem uv'neim v'tapam. So here it talks about the rebellion of Korach, and talks about how Korach, and then specifically how Datan va'aviran go out, Datan yatsu nitzavim. What does the word nitzavim mean? Standing tall. Standing upright. Rashi says, Yatsu nitzavim b'komaz kufa l'charef u'l'gadef, and so on. Which means, these people who are perhaps the prototype of individuals who have chutzpah. Chutzpah against Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, if you went to meet Moshe Rabbeinu, how would you stand in front of Moshe? And over here, this is exactly the attack. When it says that they come out to see Moshe, and instead of any type of subservience to Moshe, instead what they have is kumaz gufa. So over here, you know, when the Gemara already tells us this is something which is negative, and Rashi tells us over here it's something which is negative, and nonetheless Rashi's saying that this is, you know, v'lechotam koma miyut. And I want to stress something about this. Just in case you've never noticed this, because I gave a shiur on Tuesday night, and there was complete mystery when I said that we make reference to this every single day, and some of us more than once a day, we make reference to Koma Miyut. If you look in source number 33, in Birchat Kriyat Shema, we say, V'havienu l'shalom me'arba kanfota aretz, may God bring us, V'havienu l'shalom, peace, from the four corners of the earth, V'tolichenu Koma Miyut la'artzenu. By the way, it's very significant, because it doesn't say just God will gather us, kibbutz goliot, God will gather us from four corners of the earth and take us to our land. It doesn't say that. It says instead what we're praying for, v'tolichenu koma miyut l'artzenu, that we want to walk in, v'kumaz kufa, we want to walk in, v'koma miyut, but we still need to understand what exactly this koma miyut is. In the Nusuch Sfarad, just in case you think that I quoted this wrong, it actually adds one more element. Maher v'heve aleinu bracha b'shalom mehiram be'arbat chot aretz u'shvur uleinu me'al tzavareinu v'tolichenu mehira komiyut l'artzenu. Do any of you now have any doubt exactly where that phrase came from in Berachot Kriyat Shema? That's our pasuk. That's the pasuk that we took. That's what we say, again, every single day. So even in Nusach Ashkenaz, where it truncated the verse, it only took the second part of it, the connotation is certainly for the whole thing, and the those of you who perhaps are too tired in the morning when you're saying this, but we also say it in Birkat Hamazon, Harachaman hu yishbor uleinu, and by the way, more often than not, people mispronounce that word. For some reason, people don't realize it's uleinu. People don't mind the phone is ringing, they find it's during Sfira. harachaman hu yishbor ulenu, right? I've heard people like time to time, harachaman yishbor aleinu. No yishbor aleinu. We have enough problems. We don't need to get broken some more. Harachaman hu yishbor ulenu. May God break the ol which is upon us. Harachaman yishbor ulenu mi al tzavarenu, which is on our necks. Uhu yolichem kumi v'tzeinu, which again should be a very clear quote or paraphrase of our pasuk, which means whether this took place in the past or is a promise for the future, I can assure you that it's enough within our consciousness, or should be within our consciousness, that we say it every single day. If you say, okay, if you say Birkat HaMazon, you should say this at least twice a week, right? At least twice a week you should be washing. And I would assume that you get to the end of benching, and we say this. Okay, it could be that also after the meal you're tired as well. You're tired when you say the Shema in the morning, you're tired after the meal, after eating you get tired, so therefore people don't pay attention. But we take this verse and we're saying it every single day, and then some. So therefore it seems to me that it behooves us to at least understand what it is that we're praying for, to understand what exactly is this kol miut, and what is this kumas kufa, and especially when we hear that there's a negativity to it, that this is chutzpah. How dare us stand, you know, with our backs held high? And what I'm asking now is not a terribly difficult question, because there must be a very simple solution to it. But let's first get to the major question, and that is this something really from the past, or is this something from the future? And like everything else, or almost everything else, it's a machloket. Rabbeinu Bechaye, source 17. Ve'olechetchem komamiyut, kvar hiskarti lemala ki parsha zu ima haftachotecha hanifloot lo nitkayma la'ulam bishnei hamikdashim ach titkayem la'atid. I was in source 7. I said 6? No, sorry. I'm on 7. I don't know where you are. I'll read 7 again. On this verse, the Rebbeinu Bechaye tells us, he already informed us of this. I already told you about the brachot in Bechukotai. Ki parsha zu im haftachoteha. This parsha with its promises, its guarantees, hanifla'od, incredible guarantees, lo nitkayma la'olam, has never come to fruition, has never taken place. Vishnei Mikdashim, both in the first commonwealth, the first temple, the second temple, ach titkayem la'atid. This is something that will happen in the future. Okay, so this is Rabbeinu Bechaye. I mean, he doesn't leave very much room over here to debate this or to guess about this. He says this hasn't happened yet, which now we would understand very clearly why we would want to say this in our prayers, because we're still hoping and waiting for this to take place. He also adds something interesting towards the end, which is really based on the Gemara, and we'll look at the Gemara in a moment. In the second paragraph, he writes, "Hinei parsha zu biyudim atovim halalu hitchila ba'alef." This parsha begins with an aleph. Where im bichukotai telechu, it starts with an aleph. Im bichukotai v'sima b'tav, and it ends with a tav. Kom miyut. So what's that going to tell you? I'll take a look. It's there. Kom miyut ends with a tav. Aleph atav. Which means we're in big trouble. Okay, he says that when will this take place? When Jews really do fulfill the entire Torah from A to Z, from beginning to end. It starts with a vav, and it ends kula behei, behar Sinai biad Moshe. Moshe is a hey, v'hu chatzi Hashem, right? Which name of God? Yud hey vav hey. It's the vav and the hey are there in the curses. V'hu chatzi Hashem v'al shem shakatuv imo anochi b'tzara, that I am with you in this calamity, which basically means that when the Jews go to galut, the Shechina goes to galut as well. When the Shechina goes to galut, then kiviyachol, as it were, God's name isn't whole. This is an idea that we've talked about, not this year, but in previous years, that part of the idea of galut is that there's also galut hashchina. And generally, when one talks about these things, they would add in at the end of the sentence, kiviyachol, as it were. What does it mean, galut hashchina? It means that the Jewish people who represent God, when we are in Galut, Galut is a Chilul Hashem. It's a Chilul Hashem, because we are God's people, we're in Galut, so God, as it were, takes a hit. God, as it were, suffers. Again, kivyachol, because of this, because the respect of God in the world will be diminished, and therefore he's saying that when we are in Galut, God's name is in whole. But what happens when we come back? Vayomahu Yahashem Echad Ushmo Echad. That means that there will be a unity of God's name again. So over here, Chazal, in various cases, various places, will identify how God's name just isn't whole, which indicates that the dominion of God is not whole in the world, and that is part of the problem of Galut. So over here, Rabbeinu Bachaya taught us a couple of things. One is he taught us that this hasn't taken place yet. Two, he tells us it will take place when we really get back to keeping from Aleph Ad Taf. And then when he points out, and part of the problem of Galut is not just we are in Galut, the Shekhinah is in Galut as well. Apparently, he was basing himself on source 15. The Gemara in Baba Batra, which writes, "V'amar Rabbi Levi, bore a shaloki midat haKadosh Baruch Hu midat pasavadam haKadosh Baruch Hu beirachet Yisrael beesrim ushtayim uklalan bishmona." That bishmona. He blessed us with 22, and once you see it's 22 blessings. So what is 20? The number 22 going to represent? The Aleph Bet, and therefore from Aleph Ad Taf. So therefore, he's really basing himself on this Gemara. And the Gemara continues. I'm not sure if you count it, you'll find 22 blessings over there. But what he's saying is, it's again, it's from Aleph Ad Taf. It's complete. It's from Aleph Ad Taf, and that's what the Gemara means over here. That's again really where he was basing himself from. By the way, he points out then later on in Dvarim, the Ilu Moshe Rabbeinu Bircham B'Shmona V'Klilam B'Esr M'Shnayim. That later on, meaning that God treats us better than our leaders would treat us. Because our leaders look down at us and go like, you losers, how can you do these things? And Moshe is much stronger in his Tokacha in Sefer Dvarim than God is in the Tokacha in Sefer Vayikra. That God gives us 22. Now, again, whenever you want to give somebody Musar, so what do you have to do? You have to talk about the positive things. But you want to give somebody constructive criticism. What do you have to do? Before you start attacking them, what do you have to do? You have to say at least some nice things. What? You smooth it over a little bit. Now, none of you have experience with this. So take my word for it. If you want someone to listen to you, first try to say a couple of nice things. So it's again, it's interesting, the ratio over here. It says that Moshe has a couple of nice things to say, and then he really lets us have it. On the other hand, God says a lot of nice things, and then he gives us a smaller amount of Musa. And that's what the Gemara is telling us over here. Even though the Tokacha in both cases is really, really quite horrific. I mean, hopefully we'll have a chance to get back to that. I mean, hopefully we won't have a chance to get back to the Tokacha, but we'll see how horrific it is. On the other hand, we do have a number of references that say that this pasuk v'lechalim kol miyut refers to Yitziat Mitzrayim. Yitziat Mitzrayim had an element of kol miyut. I mean, let's take a look, for example, at the Parish of the Chizkuni in source number 8. In the second line, Va'olech etchem kol miyut, bikoma zukufa, kishen kishahashor zokef rosho kishemirimin et ha'ol, me'al tzavaro, kidichtiv, uvnei Yisrael yotzim biyad ramah. So it says, what's called miyut is the same way that the animal will lift up its head once you take off the yoke. He goes, and that's what it means by the pasuk of Nei Yisrael Yotzim Biyad Rama. And how does he understand Biyad Rama? What does Biyad Rama mean? Yad is a hand. Rama means what? It means to lift up. Biyad Rama, with an uplifting hand. Biyad Rama, that God took us out of Egypt. Biyad Rama, it's not just that God moved us laterally from one place to another. God took us out Biyad Rama, God lifted us up. So therefore, what the Chizkuni is suggesting, that the idea of Yitziat Mitzrayim contains within it this idea of Kol Miyut. Again, he'll take the whole pasuk to be in the past tense. I am the God who took you out of Egypt from the land of slavery. I broke the yoke of slavery from upon you, and therefore I lifted you up Biyad Rama. Source number 9 is the Chizkuni in Shmot, Yotzim Biyad Rama, Shibrishut Yotzu Bikumazikufa. So if you hear the Tiskuni in back over there, you see, by the way, I didn't have a chance to check why this is in brackets over here, but it sounds very much that he understands this idea of Koma Miyut as Kumazikufa, and he understands that's what happens Biyad Ramah, that's what happens when the Jews left, so therefore he would understand this verse as pointing towards the past. Charlotte, what's the matter?
No. God is doing the lifting and not us.
Right.
Right.
Well, why should that be the difference all the way through? For olichotchem kol miyut, is God is doing it. Either way, God is doing it.
Yeah, but it's a different emphasis. You're saying there's a problem. We're saying we have
too
much pride.
So this is a resolution. As I said, it wasn't a hard thing to resolve. So what Charlotte is saying is that what would the resolution be? If God lifts you up, then it's okay. But if you do it by yourself, then there's some sort of rebellion. Okay, so that's very nice, and we'll have to see how much we can embellish that still. There's a lot more to say. It's interesting that in source 10, which refers to Makat Choshech, there it says Lo ra'u ish et achiv, v'lo kamu ish mitachdav shloshet yamin. A man could not see his fellow man. V'lokamu ish mitach. What does it mean, lokamu? Man was not able to see. So does this literally mean they were not able to stand up? So here, the Haktav Kabbalah writes, V'chim milat mitachtav, kan pirusho misibat pachad v'charada, shenafla alehim, mitunot zarot. V'hamem mitachtav, hamem, himem hasaba, I don't know the German. Anyone know the German here? Good, I feel better now. V'yitachen... I don't know. V'yitachen she'ein muvan milot v'lo kamu miniyat yecholet amidat haraglayim aval kimosho yorad losho nifila al nimichut v'shvelut haruach v'bnei hada'aga v'charada. That he's saying, okay, what does this mean? They were not able to stand up. Let's understand, he says, what does it mean to stand up? What is Kumaz Kufa really? And what does it mean to be down? So he says to be down is more a psychological issue. He's saying, this is Shvelut HaRuach. How do you translate that? Shvelut HaRuach. You guys are no help today. Shvelut HaRuach is very, very depressed. Shvelut HaRuach. Hada'aga, worry, v'charada, fear. Ki'inyan, al yipolev adam alav, kein lashon, kum hu amutz alev, b'li pachet ve'ema, kimo, v'olichetchem koma miyut. Which means, he understands the idea of kumetchem koma miyut to be really a psychological issue, that I will pick you up. And again, it goes back to God. God will pick us up, and he will take away the fears, which means, there are two approaches to this among the commentaries. When it says that God will take away the yoke, some say, so therefore the result is that once the yoke is taken away, so now you can stand up, which means the result of not having slavery. So is that the same thing as not having slavery? Is it identical? You take away the yoke and now you don't have slavery. Or is that once you take away the yoke, now you can truly be free? And truly being free, by the way, this is what we would normally cause the psychological elements of slavery. So he's being very clear over here. He's saying the idea that they couldn't walk, they couldn't stand up. Why? Why couldn't they walk? Just because it's dark, you can't walk? Yeah, because you're afraid to walk in the dark. It's pitch black, you're afraid, you have fear. Suddenly you see things, you imagine you see things all around, you hear things, you're afraid to move. So over here, that's what he's saying to have the Egyptians. He's saying, no, the other side of it is that when God lifts us up and we are able to stand up, it's not just physically standing, it's something else. It's being able to have no fear. It's being able to really, again, truly be liberated. So this is the final result. After you take away the yoke, then v'olechetem koma miyut. He then, in another place, also Ketav HaKabbalah, quotes in Sefer Dvarim, where it's, again, back to Yitziat Mitzrayim still. On the uviyad chazaka uvizroa netuya. What does it mean that God takes us out? Biyad chazaka. But by the way, you know, like on Pesach, we just read this and you go over, okay, yad chazaka, zrona tuya, they all mean the same thing. Yad rama, all these things mean exactly. God took us out. Bottom line, we were slaves, now we're out. But is that really satisfying? There must be a difference between yad chazaka. Yeka, that he uses a strong hand, uvizroa netuya, and an outstretched arm. What's the difference between Yad Chazaka and Zroa netuya? So he writes, Haravar ben Ezra, the Ibn Ezra Pirish, biyad chazaka she yatsu Yisrael biyad rama. One second. What does yad rama mean? That's what we discussed beforehand. A hand which is, lifts us up. Uvizroa netuya kitam ba'amud esh v'anan. So therefore, it really makes it sound like it's synonymous. The hagra pirish biyad chazaka ba'al korcham, against their will. Biyad chazaka, that God forced the issue. That because of the makot, they had no choice. They had to let us go. Ba'al korcham. That's what he understands, as the Gra says, is biyad chazaka. Uvizroa netuya, what does it mean? An outstretched hand, which is not the same thing as yad chazaka. What is the outstretched hand? He be'itgale la'enei kol. V'lo kamo borchim, kima shekatav be'etzem hayom hazeh. B'nei Yisrael yotzim biyad rama. Uvizeh amar v'ashpor mutot ulchem v'olechetchem komumiyut. Mutot ulchem u'kineg b'yad chazaka, komumiyut shehu b'itgalehu neged b'zroa netuya. What are the two elements over here that he identifies? The Jews, on the one hand, God forces the Egyptians' hands to make the Jews be able to leave. But the Jews could have snuck out in the middle of the night. I think we discussed this. We discussed this by Pesach. The Jews could have snuck out by midnight. They could have snuck out in the middle of the night. Egyptians are too busy with the death of the firstborn. They all could have snuck out. He says, no, we're not sneaking out in the middle of the night. We're leaving in broad daylight. We're walking out. Now, what difference does it make if you leave at night, you leave in the morning? There's a little bit, I would say, more pride involved. If you sneak out of the house in the middle of the night, like a robber in the middle of the night, you're sneaking out, that's one thing. But as far as the Jews' own pride goes, again, understanding, all this goes back to the past. The pride is to walk out, to march out as free people, and not as sneak out as people in the middle of the night. That's the difference over here. And again, now we see that this is connected to Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and this is connected to this idea of Olechetchem Koma Miyut. Again, to give us pride. Now, when I first started to try to figure out what Olechetchem Koma Miyut means, I had a very simple thought as far as the methodology of figuring this out. Right? How would you go about figuring it out? So I know that you'd start looking in Mefarshim and start looking in Midrashim and what everybody says about it. I had a much simpler idea. I did that also, don't worry. But I had a much simpler idea. That in Parshat Bechukotai, we have two sides of a coin. We have on the one hand, in Bechukotai Teilechu, this, and this. If you follow my word, this and this will happen. And then it continues and says, V'im Bechukotai Tim'asu, and if you despise my laws, then this and this and this will happen. So I decided this will be very simple. Why don't I just go and look and try to find, is there an opposite to something which may be similar to Koma Miyut, and that will give me a much better idea of exactly what Koma Miyut means. Correct? Right? And lo and behold, it was right there, La'enei Kol, as they said before, in broad daylight, the Pasuk was there. And really, it's quite amazing to me that I have not found any Mefarshim that have pointed this out, that this is the opposite side of it. Excuse me? Subjugate. What are we subjugating? Let's take a look at... One second. Look. I know, but take a look and then you'll tell me. You're getting me on technicalities. Let's take a look and see what it says first. Look at verse 23. This is the stuff that doesn't sound all that good. V'hanisharim bachem, those of you who remain after all the horrific things, the survivors among you, v'veiti morech bilvavam v'artzot oyveihem. What does morech bilvavam mean? So don't worry if you're not sure the word morech, right? Which means? to soften your
scared heart.
That's the way Rashi explains it. Rashi says, "Pachad v'roch levav." Not the soldiers about to go out to war. That's the connotation. The ones who are afraid for battle. Over here, he writes, "V'nesherim b'chem." Those of you who remain after all the calamities, the veiti morech dilvavam. It's really, I'll melt your hearts. Ba'artzot oyvehim, in the land of your enemies, v'radafotam kol ale nidaf. The sound of a rustling leaf will pursue them. Although this is where they got the name of the book as a driven leaf. Again, v'radaf otam kol ale nidaf. You're going to be so full of fear, so full of angst, that even the sound of a rustling leaf is going to drive you. V'nasu minusat cherev v'naflu v'ein rodef. They'll flee at the flight of a sword, and they'll fall, but without a pursuer. Which means they'll be so deep in galut that they'll be, again, our terminology, they'll be scared of their shadows. The sound of somebody just waving a sword in the air will cause them to fall on their faces. They'll be so afraid. It then continues and it says, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Ukashlu ish va'achiv kimnecherev. They'll stumble each man over his brother as if from before a sword. V'rodef ayin, even though nobody is chasing them. And by the way, in the middle of the Pasuk, I'll stop. The worst part of the Galut experience was not necessarily all the Crusades and the pogroms that took place. What was worse than that? The constant fear of the Crusades and the pogroms. Because the pogrom may come once every 20 years, once every 50 years, it may come. But if you live in constant fear, as this Pasuk describes, and you're always afraid of your shadow, and you're always afraid of what the landowner is going to say, or what the local baron is going to say, or what the local priest is going to do, and you're always going to be in constant fear of that, that's worse than what happens, which means the fear of fear is worse than the punishment itself, or than the actual punishment, because then you're tortured, then you're constantly tortured, you can't move. Let's continue the pasuk, and then it says v'lo tiyeh lachem tkuma lefnei oyveichem, and you have no power to withstand your foes. But the word tkuma over here, I think, is the opposite of komamiyut. Over here, I see the word clearly. It then continues and it says that the result of having no tkuma, va'avadatem begoyim, you will be lost among the nations, va'achla etchem eretz oyvechem, and your enemies will consume you. Which means it's one thing to go into galut, it's another thing to be so deeply in galut that you have complete fear on the one hand, but then it continues and says, you will get lost among these people, assimilated among these people, lose your national identity, certainly having long lost your national pride, ein tkuma. Again, the opposite of this is what I believe to be komamiyut. Where, again, but God says, I will break the yoke, v'olechet kem komamiyut. Now it's interesting, I just want to point out a couple of Hasidic writers who have come to this theme of Kol Miyot in terms of, you know, obviously returning to Israel. Somebody?
I just
want to
know how you define Kuma.
Right. You'll be down. You have no ability to stand up. So again, once I see the word Tkuma there in the middle of the Tochacha, I think that this is related to the opposite of Olechet Kem Kom Miyot. Listen to the words of, where should we start? Listen to the words of Rav Tzadok HaKohen, in source 20. Rav Tzadok died in 1900, which means that Rav Tzadok lived through the beginning of Shivat Zion. He lived through the beginning of Jews coming, the first Aliyah, and so on. Rav Tzadik writes, "V'hagam she'ein hitorut k'tusha kol kach liyot ha'geula shleima b'foal l'shuv kulan la'eretz ha'kodesh komu miyut b'kufas kufa." Source 20. He goes, there's this incredible k'tusha involved in coming back to the land, but to come back, how? Komu miyut b'kufas kufa lo ke'elu ha'nosim hayom la'eretz ha'kodesh liyot sham b'shvelut. Uvagalut bein amim hamoshlim sham de'ein zechazer aliatzenu ulukdoshenu b'foal. It's fascinating what he's writing. He's saying is that the Jews who had to sneak into to Israel, and they're being subservient to the other nations that are there, to the other end, to the Turks, to the British, and whatever. He says this is not considered komamiyut. You would think this was a Zionist writer, the way that he's writing this. And Rav Tzadik, by the way, had a lot of Zionist feelings. Again, it's not in the political, you know, it's Torah Zionism, that we should be in the land of Israel, but just like in Egypt, what did we learn from the Gra? And by the way, Tzedek knew the Gra very well. What did we learn from the Gra? That leaving Egypt was b'koam miyut, and that meant that we walked out in broad daylight. We walked out with our backs held high. So what does it mean to come back to the land b'koam miyut? It doesn't mean sneaking in the middle of the night. It means being here with national pride, walking in broad daylight. So he says the coming back now is a wonderful, holy endeavor, but it's still missing something as long as we're not here b'koam miyut. We're not here b'koma zekufa. By the way, it gets worse afterwards. It's interesting, it gets worse in 1930s, obviously, but it's interesting, but he says, but we're not free. We don't have a state. We're not making decisions for ourselves. We are in Galut in Eretz Yisrael. That's what he writes. What's the matter? Okay. Okay, so something's missing still. That's all. Okay, so I'll agree. Something's still missing. Let's continue. Rav Nachman Breslov. By the way, he also... Guys, you'll take this outside after class. Preferably take it to a bar, have a couple drinks. This will get cleared up. Let me continue. Rav Nachman... You read it again, you'll fight about it later. Rav Nachman writes in Source 21... You have to pray to God to give you love and desire for the land of Israel. He goes, this has to be your tefillah. You live in Chutz La'aretz and you don't desire to be in Israel? Okay, that's a problem. What should you do? Daven to have that desire. Rav Nachman, send this to all your relatives. You don't want to be here, so start davening that you want to be here. So you're davening for the wrong thing. Right? Daven that you want to be in Israel. This should be the object of your prayers. This is a skula to solve any problems of kas, anger, and atzvut, and depression. So there you go. You want a skula to get rid of depression? Daven that you want to be in Israel. The land of Israel is a place of emunah, and that I think we can all attest to, that when v'chinat erech apayim hefech hakas v'zeh shekodem kriyat shema shehu emunat hayichud. Kriyat shema is the ultimate emunah. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Echad anu mevakshim v'hu yelichinu komo liyotzeinu. Haynu shanu mevakshim u'mitga'agim la'eretz Yisrael v'yidei zeh zochim la'emunah haynu kriyat shema shehu emunah. So in case you want to understand why we say, where we say, in Berachot Kriyat Shema, why are we suddenly talking in the middle? Right? What does it have to do with anything? Why are we saying it here? Because this is the real, real emunah. But by the way, I think that all these things are related. Now we're getting right back to your point. The problem of coming to Eretz Yisrael without emunah is exactly a problem of lacking real, real, what do we call this? Of kumah zekufah. Give me a couple of seconds. Continue of Nachman in Source 22, which is interesting. He wrote this about Birkat HaMazon. Okay, he writes, "V'zeh b'chinat v'lechetchem komu miyut." This is, you know, again what we say at the end of Birkat HaMazon. U'pirish Rashi b'kumah zekufah. All the trips that you take, you're going to Eretz Yisrael. Right? Everything is to get to Eretz Yisrael, and all the battles that we fight, it's all about Eretz Yisrael. Ukumovan kumovar bisipure kol hatara kula. Vizel volechet kem komi. Yutahainu bekumaz gufa bichinat azut. This sounds like a secular Zionist military leader. What Israeli soldiers need. Listen to what he writes. What does it mean, kumaz gufa? Bichinat azut va'akshanut she'omdim zekufim ba'akshanut gadol l'natzeach ha'milchama v'lech levo l'Eretz Yisrael she'ezia ikar tachlit yitziat Mitzrayim. Canal. Ki eifshar levo l'Eretz Yisrael l'natzeach milchama zot she'ikar kalal kol ha'milchamot she'isha Yisraeli ki im ayedei akshanut gadol ma'od bichinat v'lechetchem kom miyut. Bichinat v'tolichenu mehira kom miyut l'eretzenu b'mehira b'yameinu amen. He's saying, you have to have emunah, you have to know this is where you're supposed to be, you have to have complete belief. But again, there's one more thing that obviously Rav Nachman understands as well, and that is that the walking into Israel is walking together with God. Let's though understand exactly where this komiyut may very well have come from. Look back for a second in the first source. We started in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Let's go back to Pasuk Yud Bet. V'hitalachti betochachem. V'hayiti lachem l'elokim. V'atem tiyu li la'am. And then, ani Hashem elokeichem asher tzeiti etchem. So what does this mean when the Torah says, V'hitalachti betochachem. I will walk among you. And for that matter, how is this related to our idea of komamiyut and the idea of bekuma zekufa? Take a look. Very good. See, my mother's good. And now you'll see that that's exactly what Rashi says. Read Rashi now. Rashi's in source 27. I know you think that that she's a plant in the audience. Look at source 27. V'hitalachti b'tocham. Look at Rashi. Et hayel imachem b'gan Eden. I'll go for a stroll with you in Gan Eden. That's what it means, v'hitalachti. But Rashi continues. Et hayel imachem b'gan Eden ke'achad mikem. As one of you. V'lo tiyu mizda'aza'im mimeni. And you're not going to be afraid. You're not going to recoil from me. Yochelot hirumi meni. Does that mean that there's going to be a lack of yirat Hashem? Talmud lomar v'yiti lachem elokim. I'll be for you, God. This Rashi is a remarkable Rashi, and we obviously don't have enough time to explain it properly, but let's try at least as much as we can understand this. Rashi is going back and forth. Rashi is saying the idea of hitalachti is this idea. What does the word hitalach mean? It's not v'halachti itchem, v'hitalachti. Where's the first time in the Chumash that you have the Hitalachti? In Gan Eden, yeah.
Hashem is just like walking around.
Yeah, fair.
Here.
Where? What source is it?
32.
Good. Pasuk Chet, source 32, V'yishmu'u et kol Hashem Elokim mitalech began l'ruach hayom, V'yitchabei ha'adam v'ishto b'nei Hashem Elokim b'toch etzagan. They're hanging out in Gan Eden. What should they be doing? Going for a stroll with God and not be afraid. What did Rashi say? And not be afraid. But he said, hold it, if you're not afraid, then what's the problem? What's the problem if you're not afraid? That if you have no Yirat Hashem. So there's no, you will have Yirat Hashem. Which means that Rashi is saying this is the view of Gan Eden. This is Messianic Age. The view of Gan Eden is to be able to reconcile two things that sound like opposites. On the one hand, to hang out with God, or as my students would say, to chill with God. And on the other hand, to accept God as God. Which means you would think that if you see, first of all, there's one thing very clear from Rashi. The word yirah in Rashi, and this I'm sure you've heard before, does not mean fear. It means awe. But to be able to have awe of God, and nonetheless to walk with God, that's the ultimate level. That's what it means to walk b'koma miyut. That's what it means to walk b'koma zkufa. And by the way, that's the problem of somebody who the Gemara says has koma zkufa, and therefore they're having it without God, and therefore they're stepping on the Shekhinah. They're rejecting the Shekhinah. Which means you can only have koma zkufa if you have a very clear understanding that you're walking together with the Shekhinah. But that's what happens in Gan Eden. Once Rashi takes us back to Gan Eden, and once Rashi's saying that this v'hetalachti, and obviously you're correct that what Rashi understands is the pasuk over here in Gan Eden, v'hetalach, but there it says that man hides from God. That's the problem. What is it that caused man to hide? So a couple of things. First of all, if you go back in pasuk Hey, the wonderful words of the Nachash in source 32. Pasuk Hey, "Bayom haNachash el Yisha lo mot tamutun ki yodea Elokim bayom achalchem mimenu v'nefchu nechem v'yitam ke Elokim yodea tovara." So if you think you can be like Elokim, what's the problem? That's kumas kufa in the negative sense. That's arrogance. That's being able to say, "No, I can be God." If you think you can be like God, that means you have an incredibly inflated view of yourself, and you have an incredibly deflated view of what God is. That's not what it means. Atayel biyachad b'gan Eden. The source for this approach, the source for this chutzpah, comes from the Nachash. What's the punishment of the Nachash? The opposite of kumaz kufa. The punishment of the Nachash is having to crawl on its stomach, as it says over here in the Chumash, in 32 Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayom Hashem Elokim le'isha ma'azot asit, v'tama isha nachash hasiyeni v'ochel, Vayom Hashem Elokim ele nachash, ki asit azot arur ta mikol ha'beima mikochai tesedeh, al gichoncha teilech v'afar tochal kol yimei chayacha. That the Nachash loses its Kumaz Kufa. Take a look at source 29, the Gemara in Sota. V'chein matzinu b'nachash hakadmoni. What's nachash hakadmoni? The original hakadmon. Excuse me?
The Neanderthal snake.
The original snake. There's Adam hakadmon, right? Original Adam. And there's nachash hakadmon, original serpent. Shenatan inav v'masha inu ra'ui lo, masha bikesh lo natnu lo, u'masha biyado natlu. He wanted something that wasn't his, so what? He lost that which was his, and he didn't get that what he wanted. Amakadosh Baruch Hu, ani amarti yehi melech hakol behema v'chaya. Who is supposed to be the king of the animals, not the lion? The Nachash. V'achshev arur hu mikol ha-behema, u'mikol chayat ha-sadeh, ani amarti yehalech b'koma z'kufa. He was supposed to walk standing up with pride, as the king of the animals was supposed to do, Achshav al gichono yelech. And Yamarti hey machlo me adam, and now he's going to eat from afar. Rabbeinu Bachai in source 30, Yikilelotu al gichoncha telech, mnei sha'adata melech bekol habriot, v'hu kushero shlomo melech alav ashlom melech gadol, v'derech ha-melech alechit b'kumaz kufa, alken kilelotu shiashpil gavato, v'itbatel koko. And it's interesting, because the transformation of the Nachash from having pride and standing up to becoming a lowly animal which crawls on its belly may be part of the problem that we just now saw, the problem of Galut. The problem of Galut is when you lose your identity. You no longer know who you are. You no longer know who you are, then you get swallowed up and then you get assimilated among the nations. And that's exactly what we saw takes place in the Tochacha. That it comes to this point that there's so much fear, it comes to this point that you just get lost, you no longer know who you are. Because the prototype that we see in Chazal, the prototype that we see in the Chumash, of something that walked upright, but had pride that it didn't deserve, it saw itself as king and saw itself as being ke'elokim, and so there's an ability of being like God, it created this ability of this negative kumaz kufa, and that's what we understand, that the nachash is the Yetzer Hara. But the point that the Yetzer Hara can take you to a metamorphosis, that you no longer know who you are. You've lost your identity. And the idea of achieving kumaz kufa is finding back that individual, or I think more importantly for us today, is finding the national identity to be able to once again to walk, you know, right back into the land of Israel. But how to walk into the land? This is telling us to walk into the land again in broad daylight, to walk in with pride. But it's much more than that, but to walk with God. V'atayel b'gan Eden, to walk together with God. Exactly. Which means this idea of kumaz kufa, we can only stand up with pride because we know that we are following the word of God, we're following the way of God, and we are the people of God. That's the only way that we can have pride. And if we're able to achieve that on a national level, that's ve'etayel b'gan Eden. To go for a walk together in Gan Eden. God says, you will have awe, but it's not fear, you'll walk together. And that's what was supposed to happen in Gan Eden. And we see this now so clearly, what Rashi's reference was. There's in Gan Eden, what happens? What happens when they hear the Kol Hashem Baruch Hayom, which is Mitalech Bagan? What happens? They hide. They're not able to walk with God. They hide from God. This is no. The idea of Kumaz Kufa is the pride which is, comes from walking with God, and that's this idea of walking with Gan Eden. Which means any of us who perhaps have felt before today, you know what, some of the prayers are a little silly. Why are we still praying for God to gather us from four corners of the earth and take us to Eretz Yisrael? We're already in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe we'll take that line out. We're not praying for God to take. First of all, we should pray that God should still gather from four corners of the earth. There's enough people that still need to be gathered. And those that don't want to be gathered, we have to send them what Rav Nachman said, that if they don't want to be in Israel, then they got to start praying that they should develop within themselves that they want to be in Israel. And without that, there's a lack in the Munah. That's what he writes. That's the introduction. That's the, what do you call it? I forgot, in college, that when you take it, before you can take a course, it's the prerequisite, right? The prerequisite for saying Shema. That's fascinating. The prerequisite for saying Shema is Emunah. The prerequisite for saying Shema and having real Emunah is the connection with Eretz Yisrael. Again, all that Rav Nachman said, is it funny where we find closet Zionists? But what's lacking today is this ability of the real Kumaz Kufa. Which means we have people who, the opposite is true. The opposite is true. Is that what they feel is their own pride. B'kolchi v'otzim yodi oseh t'chayel hazeh. People feel that, you know, it's the strong, the power, the might of the Israeli military and so on, and you take God out of the equation. And by the way, you know, I'm not sure if Lag B'Omer is connected with Bar Kokhva or not. But according to the Gemara, that was the failing of Bar Kochva. According to the Gemara, Bar Kochva says at some point to God, don't help my soldiers, don't hurt my soldiers, we can do it ourselves, we're strong, we're brave, we're powerful. And they had victories, they were victorious. But you begin to believe your own press clippings, and you begin to walk with your back held high, and you begin to have pride in yourself, and then you say to God, listen, don't help us. Don't help us. So that was, and what is, this is amazing. What does the Gemara say was how he died then? It said that a snake came and wrapped itself around his neck. So how interesting is that, man? The snake comes and wraps itself around his neck and chokes him to death. That's what the Gemara says in the Yerushalmi in Ta'anit. So therefore, again, this should be perfectly clear, is that once he began to say, B'kochi ba'otzim yodya setachayel hazeh, that's where the failure takes place. What we need today is to continue to pray every single day that God should gather us from four corners of the earth, but we should add in b'tolicheni b'komimi ut la'artzeinu. And in order to create that, we need to realize that we are back here because of the will of God, that we are back here and we have an ability of walking together with God. If we're able to accomplish that, then we can begin to imagine there no longer being any fear and having pride, having individual pride and national pride. And that's the bracha of the in exact words. The eshbor motot ulchem, to break those things which still enslave us, va'olich otchem kom miyut, And as I said, now we realize why we should really be saying this still at least every day. So if you're not sure if you should wash for a motzi or not, and be koveya suda, so that'd be another reason to wash, so you can slip it in one more time.
Yeah, I know what she's saying.